Our gospel reading today comes from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. Hear now the word of the Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, Jesus' disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them this time. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book, but these are written, so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, many of you will realize that we have spent the last 7 weeks in dialogue with Jesus during his farewell discourse in the second half of the book of John. And as we live into the post-resurrection Easter season, we're going to stick with the disciples in John just a little while longer. In today's gospel reading, we find the disciples locked behind closed doors. Mary Magdalene has seen the risen Jesus and heard him speak her name. She's told the rest of the disciples, and still they are hidden away. Their fear and their grief remain. I imagine the disciples are bewildered and exhausted. It is in their rawest memories of trauma that Jesus shows up and says, "Peace be with you." Jesus offers them peace, shows them his wounds, and sends them out as the Father has sent him. Grief, trauma, exhaustion, these experiences may hit a little too close right now. We're more than a year into the pandemic and a fresh national reckoning with the sins of white supremacy and greed. And Jesus shows up here and in our homes with masks in hand and says, "Peace be with you." He invites us to look at the wounds of the body of Christ, the church, and then to be sent out. "As the Father has sent me, so I send you," Jesus says. How has the Father sent Jesus? Throughout John, Jesus does many signs. The first half of the gospel, the section before the passages of Nassau's Lenten series, focus on these signs. Jesus turns water into wine at the wedding of Cana. Jesus heals those on the margins. Jesus feeds the 5,000 with the help of a young child. And Jesus raises one of his best friends, Lazarus, back to life. These signs are miracles that disrupt illness and death. They upend the expectations of the crowd, and they care for and celebrate the community. And even if miracles don't follow in the wake of our sending, we do have the opportunity to point to the signs of Jesus in our own time. Witnessing to the Lord of life and caring for the world God created leaves marks of love. In 2018, when Andrew and I led a group of students to the Tizay community in France, their theme for the year was inexhaustible joy. And I was rereading this very small pamphlet the other day from that trip, searching for some joy myself. And this following piece of wisdom stood out with our series in John and our scripture passage from today in mind. Tizay shares, quote, "Remaining alongside those who suffer and weeping with them can give us the courage and an attitude of healthy revolt to denounce injustice, to reject what threatens or destroys life, or to transform an impasse." As Jesus comes alongside those who suffer, he not only walked in solidarity with them to the point of death, he changed lives and conquered sin. Jesus' transformative love is disruptive to all that threatens to pollute creation and hold people captive. Now, in Dave Davis's Palm Sunday sermon, he preached about Jesus the disruptor. And this week, we hear Jesus sends his disciples, sends us to follow him. And I imagine if Jesus and his works are disruptive, so are those who follow him are called to be disruptive too. Disruptors of systems that fail to care for our neighbors. Disruptors of situations infused with hate and ignorance. Disruptors of life not marked by the fruit of the Spirit. And perhaps, like the disciples, the disruption Jesus exhibits and sends us forth to continues to feel bewildering, scary, or simply uncomfortable. And all those emotions are reasonable in the face of turning the world upside down, of watching and waiting and working for Jesus' kingdom to come on earth. And that is why it is such a great comfort and encouragement to hear Jesus say three times over in our passage this morning, "Peace be with you." When the peace of Christ and the advocate, the Spirit, that continues on with us, we have the courage to look at the scars and to disrupt an easy narrative. We can go out together with love into a world in need of empathy. We can be sent to listen to the people of God that show up in the most unexpected places, testifying that they have seen the Lord. When we follow Jesus to the waters of baptism, it's a disruption. And we mark the turning from sin to new life. We hear God calling together a family in the church that goes beyond biological genealogy. We are called to care, to nurture, and to learn from each other as we experience and remember our baptisms. For us today, baptism is usually a welcome disruption, a beautiful one, like it was just a moment ago with Josephine. And there are harder disruptions, though, needed in life. It's now common on college campuses for students to have active bystander training. It's a way to plan to disrupt a situation where a friend or a peer or a stranger might be in harm's way. There are several D's to help remember options as an active bystander. The three I want us to think about today are direct, distract, and document. Direct. Be direct in asking someone to stop. Distract. Focus on the person targeted and help remove them from the situation. And document. Record a video or write down an account of the situation afterwards. Now, all of these active disruptions of bystander training were used last Memorial Day when George Floyd was killed. The Daily podcast on Thursday lifted up several of the testimonies this week from the case determining the consequences of Derek Chauvin, the officer who had his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck for what we now know is more than 9 minutes. The collective trauma of those who testified was palpable. Even as they had documented, worked to distract and directly intervene on the scene that day. And I pray that Jesus' words of peace eventually surround and hold these active bystanders as they process their own traumatic wounds. Are we as the church willing to look at the wounds and hear the witnesses as they testify? Darnella Frazier, who at 17 recorded the video that has been seen around the world, her documentation catapulted tens of millions of people to protest and call for changes in society for the well-being of Black, Indigenous, and people of color. Donald Williams, 33, a mixed martial artist who directly called out the police in the moment for the life-threatening hold Officer Chauvin was using. Or Charles McMillian, 61, who tried to de-escalate the situation by speaking to George Floyd, attempting to help him calm down while being choked. And I want to make clear that I do not think you have to watch the extrajudicial killing of anyone. I haven't seen the video, and I choose not to voluntarily watch beatings or killings. And I'm grateful I have that privilege. And still, I think it's important to not bypass the real trauma in our world, to listen deeply to the testimonies of those who are witnessing to the wounds in our society. So, church, are we willing to stand with Jesus and look at the wounds? Are we listening to the unexpected witness like Mary Magdalene? Will we be obedient to Jesus sending us into the world with disruptive signs of love? In Amy Platinga Powell's commentary on our scripture reading today, she writes, John 20, 19 through 31 is a guide for being an Easter community, where the wounds of crucifixion are not denied, when the continuing reality of death and failure and drama is not covered up, where our laments find a communal home alongside the joy. Resurrection faith means having the courage to look at our wounds, she says. It is disruptive to acknowledge wounds, and it is another step to be an active bystander after the initial recognition. And our small, independent acts of disruption are, of course, important, but so are our collective acts. Jesus sends us, all of us who follow him, to heal and feed and celebrate. These signs are disruptive in the best way for our communities and eventually for all of creation. And as we are sent, we hear the words of Jesus, "Peace be with you. Peace be with us. Peace, peace, peace."